are turning to Ezekiel chapter number 22. I don't remember if I said that correctly or not, but it's chapter number 22. I want to give you just a least little bit of information before we actually head out into the sermon here this morning. For those of you who don't know a great deal about the history of your King James Bible, just a couple of little footnotes of history here. The Bible was not divided into chapters until around the year 1227 AD. Now, that's not talking about the 150 Psalms. That literally is 150 Psalms compiled into one book. The rest of the Bible was just written. The authors were not making chapter notations anywhere. And that's why literally you will read in some passages of Scripture where verse number one of the next chapter, it's like, where did that come from? And you've got to back up and remember that it's continuing the previous chapter. Actually, there's an old story, I don't know how true it is or not, but supposedly there was a monk or a priest or something like that who was riding a donkey, and he was trying to decide where the chapter breaks would happen, and every time the donkey stopped, there's a chapter break. I don't know how true that is, but supposedly that you know goes along with it. I do know that Stephen Langton, around 1555, printed the first Bible that had verses in it. And you may ask, why is that important today to give this particular information? Well, the point is that we do not want to take Scripture out of context. And it's very easy to do just that. And any pastor or preacher, Sunday school teacher, anyone who knows what they're doing with the Bible will tell you the best way to study Scripture, to interpret Scripture, to find out what the Scripture is telling you, is start off by reading the verses before what you're looking at and the verses after. Now, all that being said, we are going to read Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30, except for the four final words of the verse. You say, why are we not going to read the four words of the verse? Because those four words in conjunction with the rest of the verse make this verse one of the scariest scriptures in the entirety of the Bible. If you are anyone who wants to follow God, who wants to win souls, who wants to serve in any capacity in your local assembly, those last four words, "but I found none," should terrify each and every one of us. But today is Pastor Appreciation. We are titling the sermon this morning, Pastor's Appreciation. We are going to sit here and we are going to break down verse number 30 with what God is looking for here in someone who will serve Him. And yes, while we are focusing primarily on Pastor Ray here this morning, really this verse applies to all of us. So we are looking at these positive aspects that God is looking for in someone who is willing to serve Him. So I trust I've stalled enough by now that you have finally found Ezekiel 22. If you'll please stand in the honor of reading our Father's Holy Word, and we will read verse number 30, short of the last four words. The Bible says, this is Ezekiel writing here under inspiration of God, and this is actually God talking. He says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." Colon. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, once again for all that You've done for us. And we thank You, God, for the joy, the honor, and the privilege once again of getting to stand here and bring Your Holy Word to Your people here at Old Fashioned. And we're so grateful, Father, for the invitation here. And we're so grateful, Father, for the friendship with Pastor Ray. And I do pray, Lord, that You bless him and his family and the congregation here at Old Fashioned mightily, Lord, for allowing us this great opportunity, for their friendship that they have shown us, for the blessings that they have been to me and my family over the years. I thank You, Lord, for them and for standing here and doing exactly what You'd have them to do here in this portion of Gary. Pray, Lord, that You please be with them now and help me, Father, please, to present the Word the way You'd have me to. We thank You, God, for all that You've done, because we can't do anything without You. We love You, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, my brother, my Savior, my high priest, and my soon coming King and Redeemer. In His name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So as we said, this is God talking here. He's looking for something, and He gives us the qualifications for who He is looking for. Now, you may have heard it said that God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Well, you know, I want you to know that that's a little bit of a misnomer, because God also calls the qualified. But He's the one who has set them up to be the qualified. He is the one who sets each one of us up to be the called, and He's the one who sets each one of us up to be qualified to do what He would have us to do. It is up to us if we are going to have willing hearts, willing attitudes, willing minds, willing hands, willing feet, willing eyes to go serve Him, or to sit back and say, let someone else do it. When I look at Pastor Ray, I see a man who's willing to serve his God. A man who loves his Savior. And a man who will do what he can, whatever that area is. Even if it's just guiding along a poor bumbling idiot as he starts off pastoring a church for the first time. He's willing to do what he can. And I'm grateful for that. But as we look here at this verse, and as I said, we're going to break this verse down and look at each one of these parts here so that we can understand just at least a little bit more clearly here today. I want you to know first of all here that as far as this goes, it is a higher calling. The verse starts out by saying, and I sought. I sought. The Bible says, this is God, as I said here. He is the one talking. This is God who is doing the looking. You know, we got this little game called hide and seek, and some people just absolutely love it. I was reading there on Facebook the other day about this UPS driver. He pulled up to a house, and there was a note on the door, and it says, we have gone out. Please hide in the garage. He goes back to the garage, the door is open, he steps inside, he finds his brother Ben, a good hiding place in there, and it says 8 hours later, and they still, no one has come looking for me. God ain't doing that, church. God is actively seeking us. The problem is, we tend to actively hide on Him. But God is looking for those who will actively say, here am I, like Isaiah said, send me. Yeah, sometimes He's got to give us a good swift kick, get us moving. Sometimes He's got to give us a little bit more of a push than at other times, because we're looking at it and says, Lord, You got the wrong person this time. Good night, You messed up, Father. I'm sorry, You made a mistake. No, God knows what He's doing.
Amen, sir. Right.
He ain't never made a mistake. Though I'm sure a lot of us would like to sit here and say, I've come very close to being His first mistake. You don't know what I've done, preacher. That's okay, because you don't know what I've done. But God sought. This is a higher calling. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of these guys running around out there who are in seminary right now saying, well, I chose to be a pastor. And they might know all the books. They might get up there and have a lot of zeal for God. And they might last a few years. But you know what's going to happen is they're going to burn out because they do not have the calling upon their lives to do it. They got a desire, but they ain't got the calling. So when you get a man who will stand up here and he has not only has the desire to serve God, but he has the calling upon his life to serve, pray for that man.
Amen.
Because all hell is coming to bear upon him. Why? Because all of heaven is backing him. It's a higher calling, church. Like I said, you see there, verse number 1. It starts off by saying that God's talking. It says there at the end of verse number 31 that God is talking. So how will I know that God is seeking me out? That I've got some sort of higher calling in my life to go and serve the Lord in some way, shape, or form? Good indication right there when that heart starts beating like that. You say, oh, well, I don't feel called to go nowhere, but I'm feeling that beating there. Maybe God's calling you to come down to the altar and just have a little talk with Jesus.
Amen.
See, that higher calling extends to more just behind the sacred desk here. That higher calling extends to our lives in every way, shape, or form. I want you to know also that there's a hereditary nature about this calling. Hereditary. You mean that his son Michael's going to be called the pastor? I have no idea. But note what the verse says. And I sought for a man among them. No, let's just pause real quickly. He says, for a man. We said this is a hereditary nature. He didn't say, and I sought for an angel among them. He didn't say, I sought for an animal among them. I sought for a bug among them. I sought for a car among them. I sought for a building among them. It says, I sought for a man among them. Yeah, God can bless in certain areas and move things to where it works out in our favor. But God's looking for a man who will stand up here behind the sacred desk. God is looking for a man or a woman who will stand here and teach Sunday school, who will do whatever they can to help clean the church, make repairs to the church, go on visitations with the pastor, go out there and witness to a lost and dying world about a Savior who will save them from a place called hell where it is very much realer than we could possibly imagine. He's looking for us to do the job. I heard a story many years ago about God talking to this angel. It was right there as Jesus was beginning His ascension. And the angel looked at God and he says, "That bunch? Do you not realize, God, that that bunch, those 11 clowns right there, swore they were willing to go to both prison and to death with Jesus, and when push came to shove, they ran before they got shoved? That bunch!" And God says, "Yep." And the angel looked at God and says, "Okay, what's plan B?" God says, "There is no plan B. That's all there is to it. Gabriel didn't come and tell me I needed to be saved. Michael the archangel didn't come down here as Dennis. God's calling you to preach. It's the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
"Working through a man. Clifford Owen." I'll back up. We had a week revival the week before and it got me thinking. Jimmy Bailey was preaching. Clifford Owensby was my pastor there at Northside. Clifford Owensby got up that Sunday morning, he preached, and I just knew I needed to go get saved. Steve Holder was my pastor there on the east side of Chicago. Doug Brandon came in to preach. Brother Ray, I remember that Thursday night. Brother Doug got up there. As we want to look at Luke chapter 23. Our sermon will be titled, "Would You Go to Calvary?" Don't have a clue what he said after that. I just knew I couldn't run no more and I had to go. God used men to get a hold of me. And I want you to know, it says here, for a man among them. Not a perfect people. Not a bunch of sinless people. Not amongst the angelic host. Not amongst those who have already died and entered their final reward, whether it be in heaven or in hell. But among them, among the people, the sinners of this world. Whether they're saved or lost, God's looking for someone to go out there. And God calls a saved man or saved woman to go and to bring a witness. God called that man right there to come. Stand behind this sacred desk Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening to bring His Word to you. I don't know if his parents had any clue he'd be called to preach one day. Something tells me there was a point in time when they didn't think that.
Amen.
And I don't mean this morning either. But he got called. And then all of a sudden, "Mom, Dad, I've been called to pastor old fashioned." Wow. What can God do with those who are right there already? So it's hereditary in nature. May I say that there is a hedge in action. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. And as we look at the word hedge there, And we picture the bush there, and it's always a nice thick bush, and people are always seem to put it right along their property line in place of a fence, and sometimes we just get mad because we know that thing breeds mosquitoes.
Yep.
What else does it do besides breed mosquitoes? It marks that property line. It marks a boundary. If you want to come inside of this side of the hedge, you will either have my permission or you will be trespassing. That pastor stands as a hedge here at Old Fashioned Church. That pastor stands here marking the boundary, letting Satan know, hitherto you can come, but no further. He's the hedge. He's there for you. For me. He came over to the community day at our church yesterday. You know one of the first things he said to me? We're praying for you and your church. By the way, that's not the first time he said that. He says it to me every time. Not out of habit, but because he does.
Amen.
He's making up a hedge. Amen. It marks the boundary. May I say also something? It obscures what's on the other side. Think about it. You've got this great big hedge that comes along this side of the property, and it comes along this side, and then there's the opening here for the walkway, and then the hedge over here, and the hedge over here. And if it's nice and tall, where it's taller than you, you cannot see on the other side. You do not have any clue what is on the other side there. It's a complete mystery to you what is on the other side there. And God intends for it to be that exact same way. Oh, you are on the inside, and it's to protect you from seeing the sin, the filth, and the nastiness of this world on the other side, and to keep the nastiness, filth, and sin on the other side of the world from coming over and seeing you and locking its targets on you. That's what the hedge is for. And the pastor will pray for you. Even when it seems like, man, I haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks. Man, I was in the hospital. He didn't bother to come. He didn't message me. Doesn't mean he's not praying for you.
That's right.
I got up Friday night to go to work. And for those of you who don't know, I work an oddball shift. I leave the house about 11 o'clock and I start around midnight. So when I get up and I turn on my phone and there's a message on there, whether it's a voicemail or a text message, I'm not calling you back at 10 o'clock at night. I don't want to get woke up. I'm sure you don't either. That's how it is. I got up Friday night and one of the fellows from my church had left me a voicemail. Pastor, I need you to pray for my niece. She's got a blockage near her heart. I stopped and I prayed.
Yeah. Right, sir.
Yeah. I go to work. I drive a delivery truck. I'm under DOT requirements, rules and regulations. If I get caught with a phone in my hand while I'm inside that truck, I lose my job. I get a $1,500 fine and my company gets a $2,500 fine. It's not worth it. So, okay, I will simply reply to him once I'm done with work. Well, the problem is we had our community day yesterday, and as soon as I got off work, I had to fly over there, and I was there for so long, and we got done with that, and we're getting ready to pack up and go home, and Gracie's wheelchair broke. Bolt snapped on us. Good night in the morning. We got home. I took the old chair in the garage. I pulled the bolt out of there. I said, man, I think this will do it. Yep, I do. Went out to the van. That's where we'd left the wheelchair at. That would be nice height for me. And I can't get it in. The bolts broke off inside. What's that sound I hear? Well, it's a lawnmower. It's my wonderful engineer neighbor on his riding lawnmower. Praise the Lord! Jonathan, I need help. I got a broke bolt in Gracie's chair. He dropped everything, ran over. I lost track of how many hours we spent on that thing. We took it over to his garage. He drilled that thing, and those bolts were hard. Good night. I don't know how many bits he wore out trying to drill it out. I had to run to Menards, came back. It was after 6. I was flat wore out. I'd been up for 20 hours. I wasn't even thinking. I got up at 2:30 this morning. Went downstairs to start studying, and as soon as I sat down, it's like, I forgot Brother John. Okay, no problem. 4 o'clock came. I'm like, you know what? Sorry if this wakes you up. I replied to him, I'm sorry I did not get back to you sooner. I did start praying for her immediately. Amen. 2 hours later, he messages me back. Thank you. I know he understands. So even when the pastor can't get back to you right away, know right away he got on it. He is that hedge there for you. May I say, nextly, we find holes are filled. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. Stand in the gap. I don't know how wide this church is. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, because I like to use round numbers, let's say it's 30 feet wide. Okay? Can we agree on 30 feet wide? Yeah. We'll say shoulder to shoulder, I'm 2 feet wide. Okay, so right now we've got a gap from that wall to that wall of 30 feet. Okay, I'm now standing here in the middle. How wide is the gap? Anyone?
28.
You're wrong. You're wrong. It's 14 feet and 14 feet. There are now two gaps, not one. Brother Bird, would you do me a favor? Come on up here. Stand in the middle between me and that wall.
In the middle.
In the middle.
Oh, in the middle.
That tends to be what in the middle means. Okay. How wide is the gap now between me and that wall? We had 14 feet. We just took another 2 feet. 12. We're down to 6 feet from me to him. 6 feet from him to the wall. That's 14 foot, but this is only 6. Pastor Ray, would you come give me a hand, please? Stand in the middle between me and Dan. Gap is 14 foot. This gap was 6. We just added 2 foot. How big is the gap now?
2 foot.
2 foot. Because he came and he stood in the gap. Because he came and he stood in the gap. Because someone was already standing in the gap. And the more people who come and fill in the gap, the smaller it gets until it finally disappears. And God is seeking for people who will come and they will stand in the gap. It doesn't matter if someone ends up falling away and now all of a sudden that gap is now huge there. He's still standing there. He's still standing over there. And the gap is still being filled little by little. And when someone else comes back up here and they fill in the gap, praise God, look at how much it's gotten closed. Now let's look here. Let's look here, church. This is good.
Thank you, Lord.
We've got a man of God standing here. We've got a man of God standing here. We've got a man of God standing right here. Now, let's please forgive me for this very crude analogy. My wingspan, his wingspan, stands in for the Holy Ghost's reach. Stretch out those arms, brothers. Let's look at that. Look at that. Where's the gap? Where's the gap, church? That's right, there is no more gap because God is taking care of it, because God is standing right there, right alongside us, filling in the gap, church. Thank you, brothers. Appreciate it. Holes are getting filled when people are following what God would have for us to do. He's seeking for such who will do it. Holes are being filled. Because it's His place. He said He sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. That man abides with God in God's place. You can look over there in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. We won't turn there for the sake of time. But the apostles are creating the first deacon board there. And they say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. The pastor is primarily called to be praying and to be in God's holy Word so that he can't preach God's holy Word. Yeah, there are other things that he's also going to do in the process. Because he loves you. Because he abides in the love of Christ. The love of Christ is flowing through him and abiding in him. So he'll take that phone call there at 3 o'clock in the morning about that loved one. He'll run to the hospital.
Yeah.
By the way, that don't just include the pastor. How about that pastor's wife? My wife ain't a member of this church. She's never been a member of this church. She was in the hospital back in July. Kidney stones almost lost her. Miss Amy and Miss Rita came and visited her. Why? Because they were standing where God wanted them to stand. They were standing in His place, bringing the love of God. It was hot in that room. They went. I appreciated that. But church, we can abide in His place. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His body. We are the ones that He is using. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the pastor is to give himself over to prayer, to praising, to be preaching God's Holy Word, to be studying God's Holy Word. But he needs to also go out there in visitation. He needs to be able also to go and work on the church and to clean the church. Whatever the case is that he knows that needs to get done so that service can go as smoothly as possible. But the more people who will come and make up the hedge and stand in the gap alongside Him, the easier His burden is. And the more He's able to do. And the closer He's able to get to God. The closer He's able to get to God. The more He can be a help and a service to this church here.
Amen. Right.
The more this church can grow.
Amen.
He's here in God's place. Someone who's following God is here in God's place. That's the way it's supposed to be, church. May I say also, it's for the sake of the home fires. You know, home fires, that's where your pilot light's on at home, on your stove and your dryer. Getting that food warmed up and getting those clothes nice and warm for you too. Look what it says here. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Where he lives. Not that he spends too much time in this particular building, but he spends all of his time in our hearts. He spends all of his time with us. Now, we may have him regulated to the broom closet. We might have him trapped in the basement of our heart. Or we might actually let him just have full run of the whole joint. But if he's not for sale, Jesus has it all. And he's on the throne of his heart. Brother Ray was asking me if I wanted to come sit up here on the platform. I can tell you, I can't stand doing that. I've done it a couple of times. Had to do it up there at the Antioch over there in Walkerton. Because they told me that's where I got to sit. Okay, I'm the visitor. I'll sit where I'm supposed to sit. I can't abide doing it. It's not my place. I don't even do it at my own church. That's my preference. But on my heart's door, that's His preference.
Yes, sir.
In my life, that's His preference. Why do I keep trying to take that chair when it's not my preference? But if I want my home to go right, I've got to let Him have it. You see, the pastor, the under-shepherd, as he actually is, because Jesus is the great shepherd.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The under-shepherd is like the great shepherd there, in that he's supposed to know his flock. He's supposed to know where the prime pastures are, because you cannot let a flock of sheep graze in the exact same pasture all the time, because sheep are stupid. And they will literally chew till they are chewing the dirt trying to get to the roots of the grass they've already chewed up. Sheep are stupid. Guess what, church? The Bible compares us to sheep. We're stupid. And so there's supposed to be some rotation for the pasture to feed. What we are doing here today is a little rotation of the pasture.
Mm-hmm.
It is no disrespect to Pastor Ray. He's not the one up here preaching that I am here to preach for. It's changing the pasture just at least a little bit for you.
Oh, sir.
And that way you will appreciate having your regular pastor back as soon as possible. But the under-shepherd is supposed to know the flock. He's supposed to know the pasture. He's supposed to know how to get to that place. If he's been in God's Word, he'll know. But the fourth thing is, he'll know the dangers along the way. Because he's traveled that road already. He knows to watch out for that tree around the bend, because that's a great place for a mountain lion or something to pounce down and take some of the sheep. He knows that this bend around the corner over here, it has a lot of rock slides, and to not go that particular way, though it is the quickest way. He'll know that when the sheep is over here beating its head over again, he knows that there's an infection in that sheep's head. The ears need to get cleaned out of the mites that are in there. Maybe some bacteria or some parasites have gotten up in the nose or around the eyes there. And he knows that he needs to get his oil out there, that he has to pour over the head and massage into the scalp and work up into the nostrils and around the eyes and into the ears there to kill off what it is that is bothering that sheep. He knows to do. So sometimes when that sermon hurts, preacher, you're on my toes. Understand, he's also apologizing to you, because he's not meaning to step on your toes. He's aiming for your heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He understands this is what he must do to protect the sheep, because this is his home. And he has to keep the home fires burning. But lastly here, in closing, there's simply the hidden value. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. He is out there on the front line. The sentry at his post holding his weapon, primed and ready to go. Even if all he can do is fire off a single warning shot to wake up everyone inside, that sentry is ready to give his life for everyone inside. The pastor is prepared to lay down whatever is necessary to protect what God has placed him in charge of. Yeah, he'll draw the line with his family. If he's got any smarts about him whatsoever, it'll be like, no, Miss Amy and Michael comes first. If I got to resign, I'll resign. I hope that's not the case. But he'll do what he can to protect you. Because he understands this is what he's for. So why is it hidden value? Because so often the pastor becomes underappreciated. Misunderstood. He'll say something that comes across the wrong way. He didn't mean it that way. His mouth got engaged before his brain. Been there. Wasn't trying to be hurtful. It happened. And people sitting there start questioning him. Start wondering about him. Is he really the right one? But God says, you know what? I know what I'm doing. I am still on my throne.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I've got Pastor Ray Tucker there at Old Fashioned Missionary Baptist Church for a reason. I'm grateful for this day of having a pastor appreciation here to honor Pastor Ray Tucker. Because I know he certainly has meant a great deal to me, and I've only got to sit under his preaching a couple of times. But every time I've called him, he's picked up the phone. Every time I've texted him, he's done it. And he's not my pastor. We're just friends. But I'm grateful for that friendship. There's hidden value there, church. Some churches never understand that. They just see someone as a hired gun. We're paying him. He needs to preach what we want him to preach, stuff that'll make me feel good, and that's it. And they miss out on all the real blessings. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do this morning, instead of having an invitation, So what the Lord's laid on my heart, what I'd like to do is to have Pastor Ray and Miss Amy come up here and stand in front of the table. And then once they've come up here, I'd like for everyone else who's able to and willing to come around. And we're going to have a communal prayer over them. They deserve it,
yes,
and they need it. So Pastor Ray, would you please come up?